I invite your attention to the book of Romans chapter 12. We're going to begin reading today in verse 3. Now, last week we talked Sunday morning and Sunday night, verses 1 and 2, and the challenge was to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. What that looked like. Now, today we get into a little more depth of what that living sacrifice looks like. Verse 3. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? In respect of the Word of God. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's stop there and pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you today, asking for your guidance in your word. Lord, we pray that you will just open our minds and our hearts and our ears. Teach us, Lord, from your word. Lord, we pray that your word will transform us today, that we might be made into better servants, more usable children. Lord, we pray your will be done in this service today in every life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How many of you are concerned with your health? Amen. Health's pretty important, is it not? I mean, we do a lot of things to be healthy. We exercise. We take vitamins. We go to doctor's appointments and get checkups, and all that's good. Great thing, you know. Encourage it. But today, I want to challenge you to look at another health. And that is the health of the body of Christ. That is, when we say the body of Christ, we're talking about the church. So, this is a church checkup, if you will. The healthy body of Christ. And we start with a healthy mind. Do you have a healthy mind? Everybody, nobody's shaking their head yes or no. We're not going to answer that mind question. We're told in verse 3 that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but rather think soberly. Now, to think highly of yourself or too highly of yourself is to think more of yourself than you should. It includes arrogance. It includes just selfishness. Thinking that, well, you just have too high of an opinion of yourself. However, this is not saying that you walk around with your head down saying, oh, I'm worthless. Oh, I can do nothing. Oh, I'm no more than dirt. Oh, woe. That's not what it's saying, okay? Instead, it says we're to think soberly. Now, that word soberly, of course, means sensibly. We're to think sensibly about ourselves. We're supposed to have a realistic view of who we are and what we can do. Now, what does this look like? Well, glad you asked. Verse 3, it says, as God has dealt to each a measure of faith. Now, that word measure means to apportion something or give someone a portion of something. That word faith means to be trust or to entrust with something. Now, that measure of faith, it's not talking about the faith that you have. It's talking about the faith or the trust that God has placed in you. So, to put it in our words, you have been entrusted by God with the ability to do something. I'm going to say that again. Might keep repeating it until somebody says amen. You have been entrusted by God with the ability to do something. You have been entrusted by God with the ability to do something. I'm going to go a step farther. You're good at something. Three of you are anyway. To put this in realistic terms, God is saying you're good at something because I have given you that ability. Okay. To sit around and say, and I've heard this before, well, you know, I just can't do anything. I'm just not really good at anything. No, you're not thinking soberly. Okay, you're not. God has given you an ability, and the challenge here is to stop thinking that, well, I can't contribute to the body of Christ because I'm not this superstar singer, this great teacher, or this dynamic preacher, and so I just don't have much to offer. Baloney. That's a Greek word. God has given you something. And it's something that you are good at. So, I'm going to tell you one more time. You're good at something. You're good at something. It's not real good at saying amen, but you're good at something. See, we're going to require your participation today. You are good at something. That is a healthy mind. Okay? That is thinking soberly. Now, and I'm not telling you to be arrogant. Think, boy, I'm somebody's gift to the ministry. No, but you are good at something because God has given you something, an ability to use. And it is my desire for you to know the joy that using that ability brings. When I preach on Sunday, listen. At the end of a service, there is a deep soul satisfaction that I have done what God has called me to do. Now, I never back up and say, yeah, that's a good message, Doug. No. As a matter of fact, most of the time I think, boy, I messed that one up. I wish I'd have said this, wish I'd have said that. But there's still that soul satisfaction of knowing I did what God called me to do today. And friends, I fear that that's not the norm among Christians today. You know? That Christians know the joy. That they've accepted the fact that they're good at something and that they're using that within the body of Christ and that they feel after they exercise that gift that God has given that they enjoy that soul satisfaction that it brings. Do you have that? If you don't, you need to back up. Okay? You see, I'm not here to preach to you today to everybody, you know, you're not doing anything. You need to get up off the feet. I'm here to say, are you getting that soul satisfaction? And if not, we need to do something about it. Right? You see, God has given you a unique ability that enables you to contribute to this church body. Therefore, when we gather together, or when we're acting as a church body, God has placed you here for a reason. And you may say today, Brother Doug, I don't know how to find my gift. Let me help you. I'm glad you asked. Here's my challenge. If you do not know what that gift is that God has given to you that you're good at, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open your Bible. And I want you to read through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get through with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, do Acts. And read it from the perspective of what are they doing that I could do? Okay? How can I apply? You know, how are they ministering? How are they encouraging? Beloved, I promise you, you will not read those five books and come out with no ideas of what you're here for. It's there. You see, having a healthy body starts with having a healthy mind. And that healthy mind is having a reasonable view of yourself, that you are here for a reason and that you are good at something. Second thing that you need to have a healthy body, you need to have healthy members of that body. Verses 4 and 5 says, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are the body of Christ, and in this body we have many different members, and each member has a different function. And we are individual members of one another. What does that line mean? Put it in our terms. You belong to me, and I belong to you. Okay? You belong to me, and I belong to you. You see, this hand is not a hand that belongs to itself. This hand belongs to the body. As a matter of fact, this hand is not even special by itself. What do you have to do? You have to add an arm to this hand for it to be special. But you know what? The arm and the hand is not special until you connect it to a shoulder. The arm, hand, and shoulder are not special until you connect it to the rib cage. But boy, when you start connecting the individual parts of a body, it becomes something awesome. Have you ever just thought about the human body? How that everything works together and is connected together to function as a finely tuned instrument. That's right, this body is a finely tuned instrument. You might say, under all that calories that you need to burn up, preacher, there's a finely tuned instrument. Maybe, but this body is a finely tuned instrument by the hand of God. In the same respect, this church should be a finely tuned instrument orchestrated and put together by the hand of God. And when we look at it that way, beloved, there is nothing that this church can accomplish. Do you understand that you are part of this body of Christ if you are a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church? And God has placed you here to contribute. And the health of this body depends on the faithfulness of each individual member. Have you ever had to do without a member of your body? I'm talking about if you broke an arm. Listen, I love my right arm. You take my right arm away, I'm in trouble. Because my left arm just does not work in place of my right arm. I don't know what it is. I write with my right hand. I do everything with my right hand. And when my right hand needs a little help, the left hand comes. But don't make me start doing everything left-handed. Because it won't work. You say, that preacher can't even sign his name. You're right. With my left hand, I cannot. But you see, if my right arm stops fulfilling its function, what's going to happen? Other body members, other body parts are going to come to the rescue and try to fill a position that they are not made for. This left hand was not made to be a right hand. Your faithfulness in exercising your God-given gift and ability is of vital importance to the health of this body. Okay? Because if you do not exercise your God-given gift, then my friends, somebody else is going to have to try to fill in for you that has no business doing that particular, exercising that particular gift, because that's not what they're made for. Does that make sense? The response is amen. You see, when I start doing other things, I find that everything suffers. I'm talking about other things other than what I've called to do. Here's the problem. Number one is I'm not good at some things. I know that's hard to believe, isn't it?
Beth says, no, that ain't hard to believe. I can go through a list.
I'm just not good at some things. God has not given me ability in some areas. So if I do certain things, it's going to get done, but it's going to be done poorly. Because that's the best I can do. Second problem. Those things do not bring me spiritual joy. You know, I told you earlier. When I preach, man, I don't mind putting in the study time. I don't mind putting in the preparation time. Because when I preach, after that message is over, there is a soul satisfaction that says, I've accomplished or I've done what God called me to do. But when I'm doing something that God has not called me to do, there is no spiritual satisfaction. Does it make sense? You want to know why there are so many long faces in churches and empty people in churches today? It's because they're not doing what God called them to do. You know? There is a joy in being that God-used member. The third thing that happens when I'm doing things that I shouldn't be doing is the time and effort that should go into my calling goes into something else. And so not only does that something else job suffer, my calling suffers. Now, I'm not preaching this from the viewpoint of a pastor. I'm not. Every one of you are in the same shoes that I'm in. Okay? You are called. You have a God-given ability. Use it. If you're not exercising that God-given ability, you're going to do something else that you don't do well. You're going to do something else that takes time away from what you should be doing. Therefore, both jobs are going to suffer. I love when my body works well. Don't you? Don't you love it when you get up in the morning and everything works? I know it takes time for some of us, right? See, here's the danger. We are the body of Christ. Spiritual inactivity is so very dangerous. I've watched, and I speak this respectably today, but I've watched as people grow older. And sometimes as people grow older, you know what they do? They get to that age where it's a little more difficult and requires a little more effort than it used to, so they stop. And ultimately, they sit down. And you know, you watch when a person sits down and stops being active. Take note, they're not going to last long. Their body won't hold up. It just won't. Time and time again, I've seen people sit down and die. That's what happens spiritually. You want to know why you feel empty? Are you exercising your gift? Are you active? Yeah. Let me tell you, sometimes I know it's hard. Sometimes we get tired. We all get there. But I will stand before you and witness very boldly and plainly that I am very blessed to be called to the ministry, and there is nothing else in this world that I want to do. And your call is just as important as my call. I want you to know the joy of serving. Okay? Then finally, let's talk about having that healthy ministry. Starts with a healthy mind, healthy members, finally a healthy ministry. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy if in proportion to our faith. The idea with these next three verses, 6 through 8, is this one thing. Are you ready? I won't have to go through and break down every word. I'm just going to tell you what this means. Right? Everybody listen. Say amen if you're listening. Amen. Do what God calls you to do. That's what this is saying. God's given you an ability. Do what God has called you to do. Oh, brother, I'm just afraid. And people, and they are. And I've had people tell me this. I'm afraid. Are you kidding me? Are you afraid of the God that gave His only Son so that you could have eternal life? Are you really afraid that that God's going to ruin your life? You don't understand His love. I've had people say, well, you know, I'm afraid God's going to call me to preach. I'm afraid that God's going to call me to be a missionary in a third world country. Bless your heart, you're probably worried about nothing. Because I want to tell you what happens. What God calls you to, He gives you a passion for. Okay? You don't have a passion for people in India or Africa or somewhere else. You know, a God-given fire that He's probably not going to call you as a missionary over there. If you don't have a passion for preaching the Word of God, He's probably not going to call you to preach. Don't be afraid of what God wants to do in your life. Be open and ready for God to do amazing things in your life. You see, there are some people who don't need to preach. You missed a good opportunity there. There are some people who do not need to preach. They're not gifted in that area. It scares them to death. That's just not their thing. Don't worry about preaching. That's not your gift. There are some people that don't need to teach. They're boring as they can be, let's face it, right? They don't have a God-given ability. Okay? Don't worry about God calling you to be a teacher if He hasn't equipped you. There are some people who don't need to be on the finance committee. I'm one of those people. You know. Don't worry about it. But I'm going to tell you what. There are some people who are called to preach. There are some people who are called to teach. There are some people who are called to exercise their gift on the finance committee. There are some people who are called to exercise their gift on the mission committee. There are some people who are called to exercise their gift of encouragement and greet people when they come in the door with a smile and a welcome to victory. There is a call on your life. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand today. And that's where you're going to find your spiritual satisfaction. When the right people are serving in the right places, there is no limit to what the body of Christ can accomplish through the power of God. Okay? That's what he's trying to get across here in these five verses, 3 through 8. Bottom line, God has called you to something. He's made you good at it. Do it. Somebody asks you what the preacher preach about today, tell him he said, just do it. Just do it, because that's the whole idea here. You see, here's what we have to consider. Time's running out. Time is running short. You see, we're told in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 1, but we know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And then he goes through a list of men being lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. And he goes on this massive list. And the more you read this list, the more you say, whoa, we're there. We're there. These are indeed the last days. Now, am I going to tell you that Jesus is going to come back this afternoon? No, sir. I'm going to tell you He can. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe next year. But I think we're close. And I know we're closer than we've ever been. But see, He gave us this to be is that flashing alarm. The end's coming. The end's coming. The end's coming. The end's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's that alarm clock that says, wake up. You don't have much longer. You know, if you don't think we're living in those perilous times, read the news. How do I say this? I read a headline yesterday. USA Today. And this headline read, Taliban doesn't equal Islam. How news coverage of Afghanistan disserves a great religion. Beth's got a saying that she used when her kids were growing up. That saying is, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, talks like a duck, then it's a duck. Listen, we're in those last days. Just based on where we are in the world. Those perilous times. It amazes me that religions today are considered religions of peace. No matter what they do and who they kill, they're a duck. Put lipstick on a pig and he's still a pig. Don't let the media and the events of today sway you away toward a godless society. Today we've talked about being used in the church. And listen, living in the last days, if you're going to use your gift, you better use it. Okay? Next week we're going to talk about how we move out of the church into the world. Right? I'm going to tell you, you need to come next week, Lord willing. Lord willing, we're going to talk about some things we need to talk about. We're going to talk about wokeism, being woke, what that means. And you may say, what is that? Well, I promise you this, college age and high school kids, they know what woke is. We're going to talk about critical race theory, what that does for our nation, or don't do for our nation. We're going to address some things that we've got to deal with and promotion of false religions like this. And we got to deal with them because when we go out there, it's real. And if we don't do something out there, then it's not going to get done. I'll be honest with you. Made some comments a while ago that I shouldn't have done. The pig comment was inappropriate. See, first thing we got to do is we got to get it right in the church. We get it right in the church. We start using our abilities for the glory of God. Then we're ready to get it right out there. When we go out there, we have to go out there with a loving attitude. And we've got to reach people who do not want to be reached. We've got to reach people who are hostile toward the gospel. We've got to reach a people who thinks Christianity is wrong. And we've got to figure out how to do that. That's why I said the pig comment a while ago was out of order. I'm not here to make enemies. I'm here to share the truth of God's Word. Okay? So my challenge to you today is let's get it right on the inside today. Let's get it right in here. Figure out what God has called me to be and called me to do, what ability that I have. And let's commit to doing it. So that next week we can commit to going out there and making a difference. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Father, I pray your will be done in this invitation. Father, I believe there are those that know what they should do and just don't do it. I believe there are also those that don't know what it is that you've called them to. Father, I pray that you'll make your will plain to them in their lives. But I pray that we'll all walk out of here with a renewed zeal and passion for your work. Father, I pray most of all for those who are lost. I pray that today will be the day of salvation. That they will give their life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.